Good morning, everyone. January 10th, Merry Christmas. Thankful we're having our Christmas program. Why don't we go ahead and pray and get started? Father, we commit this morning to you. Thank you for all that are here, especially our children. Thank you for those that are joining us online. Give us a wonderful time. It is always appropriate to celebrate your son, whether it's his birth, death and resurrection, or glorious reign. Thank you for this day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. We'd like to welcome you to our Christmas program. Imagine this, Christmas in January. I think y'all like it, right? whoa, here we go. Yeah, it's pretty awesome thing. We all know, and we're not going to talk about the bizarre year we had last year, but we are going to talk about this. It is a wonderful thing that we can talk about a message that is good for all year long, and that is the birth, the death, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And our children are here. They're excited to do this. They're excited to bring it to you. When I was talking to the teachers about what should we do? Should we continue this? And they said, absolutely, absolutely. What a way to honor Christ that we can do this. We normally do the cribbery. We only have one person in the cribbery who is not here this morning. I think she did not want to be here, and that is Brooke Hauser. We are very appreciative of that little lady. Welcome that precious little lady to our church family. I asked her if she wanted to come up, and she gave me one of her stares. So I took it that was an absolute no. Just as a reminder, children, when you are done with your program, you will be sitting with your families. And also, let's see, I'll make sure I got this. Oh, yeah, when you are ready to go up, you are going to be coming up on as soon as the song starts. You know when your turn is. Just a reminder, come up on that so we can keep the flow moving. So we appreciate it. We hope you enjoy the program. And with that, I am done.
We'll be using our hymn books this morning for singing of the Christmas carols. So the first one we'll sing is Joy to the World, number 117.
If you look for me at Christmas, you won't need a special star. I'm no longer just in Bethlehem. I'm right there where you are. You may not be aware of me amid the celebrations. You'll have to look beyond the stores and all the decorations. But if you take a moment from your list of things to do and listen to your heart, you'll find I'm waiting there for you. You're the one I want to be with, you're the reason that I came, and you'll find me in the stillness as I'm whispering your name, love, Jesus.
Thank you, ladies. Let's sing number 125, Hark the Herald Angels, 125.
See my
Aren't you so glad our church is full of children? What a blessing. What a blessing. I had a preaching class earlier this year, and we were challenged, what do you do with squirming kids or screaming babies? And you know, a lot of churches don't have squirming kids or screaming babies. And not obviously that they're doing that this morning. They're wonderful, but thank the Lord that our church is full of children. Let's sing Silent Night.
He told Mary she was going to have a baby and that the baby would be the Son of God.
Don't be afraid.
And then the angel left.
When Joseph heard that Mary was going to have a baby, he was very upset and did not know what to do. So one night, while he was asleep, the angel came to talk to Joseph, too. He told Joseph that Mary's baby was from God and that it was okay to marry her and take care of her and the baby.
Don't be afraid!
And that's just what he did.
while later, the king decreed that everyone had to go to their own hometown for census. So Joseph and Mary traveled to the town of Bethlehem to be counted, because Joseph was the house and line of David, and Bethlehem was known as the city of David. There was lots of other people there, too. There were so many people that there was no room available for Joseph and Mary. So Joseph and Mary stayed in the stable with the animals to stay warm and dry. There was a cow there.
Moo.
There was a sheep there.
Baa.
There was a donkey there.
Heel.
There was a camel there. And Joseph and Mary stayed there too. While they were there, the Son of God, Jesus, was born. Mary wrapped him nice and warm and laid him in the manger.
That night, there were some shepherds out in the fields watching over their flocks of sheep. The angel came and talked to the shepherds, and they were terribly afraid. I bring you good news. The Savior, which is Christ the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem. You will find the baby swaddled in clothes lying in the manger.
Don't be afraid.
And all of a sudden, there were other angels praising God. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And then the angels left. And when the angels left, the shepherds went to Bethlehem, found the Savior Jesus Christ, and worshipped him there. How about you? Do you know the Savior Jesus Christ? Are you focused on him this Christmas?
Thank you.
Amen. And amazingly, that skit was exactly how I pictured it growing up, too. Amazing. Thank you. We thank you for baby Jesus, God. He did it all. Baby Jesus did it all for us. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's sing 125. Hark the herald angels sing. Sorry, 136, actually, angels. 136. Angels, we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plains and the mountains in reply. Echo, echo, joyous strain.
Stand together for prayer. Father, we thank you for this opportunity this morning. We know it's a little unusual celebrating Christmas at this time, but we are thankful that we're able to do so. We thank you for each one of these children who have been up on the platform this morning. Thank you that they've been able to be here. Thank you that they are part of our Sunday school and part of our church. We pray, Father, for each one of them. We pray that you'd keep them healthy, that you'd keep them safe. I pray, Father, that they would commit themselves to you, that they'd trust Christ as their Savior, that they'd grow up desiring to walk with you, to be a follower of Jesus Christ, to surrender themselves to you so that they might live their life for you and give you the priority in their life. And I pray, Father, that they would see that example in each one of us adults, that we too would be followers of Christ, surrendered to you completely, offering ourselves as living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto you. And Father, we thank you again that we are able to be here for the freedoms that we have, and we recognize the events of this past week certainly has been challenging. We recognize the lack of peace that is in this world today and even in our own nation. And yet, Father, the Prince of Peace was born, and the Prince of Peace is coming again, and he will establish his kingdom, and of peace there will be no end. And we thank you for that prospect, and we certainly await with expectation the return of our Savior. And we thank you, Father, for his first coming, in which he died on the cross for our sins so that we might have eternal life. And we thank you for the peace that can be ours as individuals When we trust Christ as our Savior and as we surrender ourselves to Him, it is a peace that the world cannot give, a peace that passes all understanding, a peace that does indeed remove our troubled hearts and the fear that we'd have in our hearts and gives us joy in our Savior. We thank you this morning that we are able to have that joy in the midst, perhaps, of confusion, in the midst of chaos, even in the midst of anarchy and lawlessness. We can have a joy because of our Savior. And we can rejoice in Him because of who He is and because of what He's done and because of His promises to us. So thank you, Father, for this hour together. And it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
Thank you.
I would like to ask our pastors and their wives, and Lisa and your family, to come up front if you would, please. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, "Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." You know, our pastors learned this really interesting technique this last year. It was called virtual services. And, you know, that was a lot more difficult, I believe, than any of us would like to admit. You know, we all sat back and we watched on Facebook or, you know, on your devices, however you did it. And we saw them stand up and try to visualize a crowd sitting out here. What a wonderful thing to see a crowd here today. But our pastors have faithfully brought the Word of God to us. Don is Friday morning devotional. Don, they are very appreciated. Thank you. And everybody trying to maintain as a normal scenario, and here they are in front of you. And you all graciously, every year, we ask that, you know, if you guys would be willing to give the pastors a gift at Christmas time, that would be a wonderful thing, and you all come through so very faithfully on that. And we really appreciate it. The pastors really appreciate it. Don, thank you. Thank you for the work that you do. Thank you for faithfully coming to the pulpit. Thank you for doing what you do. And Lynn really backs up Don, and it's very evident. I think it'd be very hard for any of us if we didn't have our wives backing us up. Lynn is faithful in our youth group. And our youth love you. And it's really neat to see that. Lloyd and Sue, retirement. Woo! You know, Lloyd is very, very good at critiquing the Word of God for us and really bringing very deep detail, especially in the Old Testament. He loves the Old Testament. And it's very evident. And we have all learned and we have all grown from that. I believe that Sue wrote the book on commitment and faithfulness. Oh, she doesn't want to hear that. But, you know, she and Lloyd have been very, very instrumental, especially with our junior groups, the way they have come through for them, our VBS. You always see Sue there. And you always see Lloyd there. And we really, really as a church love you for that and appreciate that very much. Mike and Lisa. Mike has been very, very faithful with our music and with our youth as well. And, you know, Mike has brought and helped develop a way of bringing the music that seems to fit us all. And we are so very, very thankful for that, Mike. Lisa has been the backbone of Mike. She stands behind him. She has been faithful also in helping with the youth. And I want to say this year also for the youth that Mike wrote a book. It is Daily Devotions for Teens, and it's called, what, Mike? Oh, yeah, One Day at a Time. I wanted to make sure I got it right. It's only my son's book. So it is out there. I would encourage you to look on Amazon or someplace and order it. So no further ado with that, we would like to give them the gifts that you all gave them. Not you again. You did this last year. Lydia this year. Thank you so very much.
Don asked me to say thanks on behalf of all three of us. During Christmas time, we give gifts, and we give gifts throughout the year. Gifts are important, gifts of love to each other. God has given us a great gift, his son, Jesus Christ. But along with Christ, he gives us faith. He gives us grace. He gives us many, many things. But all three of us would agree that one of the greatest gifts God has given us is you. is so vitally important. In the beginning, Old Testament, it is not good for man to be alone. You know, he gave that command, he gave that statement right after he gave a command to not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. In spiritual lives, in our regular lives, we need each other. And it's so vitally important that we are unified together. And Christ prayed that we'd have the same unity that he and the Father had, and that's really amazing to have that kind of unity. But all three of us are truly blessed, and we want you to know that. All your prayers, all your words of encouragement, your cards, just your smiles when we come in into the services, whatever it's Sunday school or whatever it's a service. It's a beautiful thing, and we do appreciate it. We do not take that lightly. And we thank God for carrying us through the COVID time, because it's been difficult. It's hard to do, but nothing's too difficult for our God. So you are the gift. You are our gift. Your faith, your love for Christ is beyond measure, and we thank you so much for the privilege it is to be your pastors. Thank you.
You all saw me give that envelope to Lynn, right? That's the last I'll ever see of it. But thank you anyway. We just have a few minutes left this morning, but I'd ask you to turn to Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9, if you want to use the Bible there in front of you in the chair, it's page 792. Page 792, Isaiah 9. As we've already said, a little strange to celebrate Christmas on January 10th, but 2020's been a strange year. Why not celebrate Christmas in a strange way? And we're glad to do so. Thank you, all of the kids that were part of this. We certainly appreciate you very much. Thank you, teachers, for the work that you put into it and all the work that you do throughout the year in teaching our Sunday school classes. We very much appreciate it. At Christmas time, often we talk about peace. You ask the average person out on the street, what do they want for Christmas? And often you're going to get the answer, world peace. It is certainly the desire of most every heart to have peace on earth. The events of this past week in our own nation reminds us that not only is there not peace on earth, not only is there not world peace, there's not even peace in our own nation. What is this peace that we long for? It seems as though there in Luke chapter 2, when we have the angels coming to announce the birth of Christ to the shepherds, that they promised peace. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. It seems as though the promise was that with the birth of this child, we would have peace on earth. And yet, even in the life of this child, he knew no peace in his own life. He was constantly being attacked by others. Constantly others were rebelling against him. He was constantly being rejected. And in fact, he ended his life in a violent death upon a cross. There was no peace. In Isaiah chapter 9, familiar Christmas passage, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. This child was to be the Prince of Peace, but in his own life he did not experience peace. There has not been peace in this world before or after the birth of this Prince of Peace. We've not experienced it. Verse 7 goes on and says, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. No end to peace? We haven't even begun with peace, let alone have no end of peace. Upon the throne of David, verse 7 goes on and says, and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with justice and with righteousness from henceforth, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. The promise is that the zeal of the Lord would perform this, this never-ending, forever peace. And yet, Christ came, and there's no peace. Those of you who have studied the Scriptures know that indeed, when Christ came the first time, which we celebrate at Christmas, He came to be our Savior. He did come to die for us, to die in our place upon the cross, to take the penalty for our sin, so that through faith in Him we could have eternal life. But we also know from Scripture that He's coming again. And when He comes again, He is going to come and He will fulfill completely His role of the Prince of Peace. And yes, He's going to establish His government. And He's going to sit upon the throne of David, as verse 7 says. And He's going to order His kingdom in justice and in righteousness. And of His kingdom and of peace, there will be no end even forever. And the zeal of the Lord will perform this. That's His promise. He's promised that indeed, zealously, He will bring about this kingdom. He will bring about this government. He will rule in righteousness and justice, and there will be no end of peace. That's the promise to come. So no, it didn't come at His first coming when He was born in Bethlehem. He came to die. But He's coming again to reign in righteousness and in justice and in peace. You're there in Isaiah chapter 9. Just go a few pages in your Bible to Isaiah chapter 32. In Isaiah chapter 32, we read that Christ is coming and He's going to reign as king. In fact, verse 1 of Isaiah 32 says, behold, a king shall reign in righteousness and princes shall rule in justice. It's referring to Christ. He shall reign in righteousness. But as you read down through the next verses there in chapter 32, we recognize that there is no peace at this time. And you come down to verse 15 and we read that there's not going to be peace until, verse 15, until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high and the wilderness be a fruitful field and the fruitful field be counted as a forest. Then justice shall dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness remain in the fruitful field, and the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness quietness and assurance forever. Christ is going to reign when He comes again. He's going to set up His kingdom, and when He does, He's going to reign in righteousness and in justice. And it says then in verse 17 that the work or the fruit of righteousness is peace. The fruit of righteousness is peace. Righteousness produces peace. And that is why there is no peace on earth today. Because man is not righteous. Peace is a product of righteousness, and man is sinful. Man is unrighteous. Man in his unrighteousness cannot produce peace. And so, there is no world peace. There is no peace on earth. Because unrighteousness cannot produce peace. Man in his sinfulness cannot produce peace. Peace is a product of righteousness. And so that peace can't come until the righteous king comes, who will reign in righteousness and in justice. Notice again as you continue on in Isaiah up to chapter 48. Romans chapter 3 tells us, with reference to man, that there is none righteous, no, not one. And so since man is not righteous, man cannot produce peace. Not any kind of real lasting peace. Isaiah chapter 48, verse 18, God says to the nation of Israel, "Oh, that you would have hearkened to my commandments. Then had your peace been like a river, and your righteousness like the waves of the sea." If you would have obeyed my commandments, if you would have been righteous, then your peace would have been like a river. Peace would have been a constant flow, constant peace, if you had been righteous. There can be no peace apart from righteousness. And man is unrighteous. There is no peace. In fact, look at verse 22 there of Isaiah 48. "There is no peace, says the Lord, unto the wicked." Sinful man, there is no peace. As long as we remain in our sinfulness, we cannot produce peace. Why did the anarchy take place in our nation's capital this week? Because man is sinful and cannot produce peace. Our only hope is in the Prince of Peace. And that Prince of Peace came to save us, to die on the cross for our sins, but he's coming again to reign in righteousness and justice. And the product of that righteous reign will be peace, of which there will be no end, even forever. That's our hope. Back in Luke chapter 2, when the angels appeared to the shepherds, again, it seems as though they're promising peace, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. That's not exactly what he's saying. He's not promising, the angels are not promising their peace to all men on earth. Really, the idea there is peace on earth to men of goodwill. Not to all men, but to men of goodwill. And that word goodwill refers to those who do the will of God. Men of goodwill are those who do the will of God. That's to whom peace is promised. Those who do the will of God. The will of God, obviously in Scripture, first and foremost, is to trust Christ as Savior. And as we trust Christ as our Savior, we then make Him Lord of our lives and we surrender ourselves to Him to live righteous lives. And therefore, we can have peace of heart. And so that peace the shepherds promised, or the angels promised to the shepherds, peace to men of goodwill, is peace to the individual who does the will of God and trusting Christ as Savior and surrendering themselves to the Lord to live righteous lives. There is where we can have peace of heart. Even in the midst of chaos, even in the midst of unrest, even in the midst of anarchy, even in the midst of lawlessness, even in the midst of confusion, even in the midst of division, even in the midst of hatred, even in the midst of anger, there is a peace of heart to those of goodwill. In John chapter 14, Christ, the night before he was crucified, says to the disciples, and he had already told them that he was going away. They didn't understand all the details, but he was going to go away. And he says, "But even though I'm going away, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. What a wonderful peace. What a wonderful promise. A peace of heart that removes the troubled heart, that takes away the fear. Peace of heart. Not a peace that the world can give. It's not even a peace that the world understands. It's a peace that only the Prince of Peace can give as we give our lives to Him. As we give our lives to the Righteous One, the only one who can truly produce peace. Peace of heart. And yes, ultimately, world peace. We have a message of peace. That message of peace cannot be separated from the Prince of Peace. It cannot be separated from righteousness. And as long as man continues to live in his sinfulness and his wickedness, there is no peace. We need to be faithful in giving the message of peace, salvation through Jesus Christ, and peace from the Prince of Peace. Are you experiencing that peace this morning? Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? Have you surrendered your life to Him in righteousness? We are living in troubled times, but that doesn't mean you have to have a troubled heart. And we may be living in times that could be fearful. That doesn't mean we have to have fear in our hearts. We can give ourselves to the Prince of Peace, and He can give us a peace of heart and soul as we await His return, when He will establish His kingdom, reigning in righteousness and justice and peace even forever. That's the Christmas message. That's the message we need to share with those around us in our troubled time. People are looking for peace. Unfortunately, many are looking in all the wrong places. They think that some man will give them peace. Some look to President Trump as though he was going to be the answer. Now some are looking to President Biden as though he's going to be the answer. But guess what? No man is the answer. The Prince of Peace is coming again. We can look forward to that time. Our hope is in Him, when He will establish peace even forever. But in the meantime, as we await, we can have peace of heart, a peace that passes all understanding, a peace that removes the troubled heart, the fear in the heart, and gives us a heart of peace. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank You so much this morning that we have that message of peace from Your Word. Thank You for the hope that is ours. Thank You, Father, that even in the midst of confusion and uncertainty and chaos, we don't have to have troubled hearts. We don't have to have hearts of fear. We can indeed experience that peace that Christ has left with us. Thank You again, Father, for each of our children this morning and for the program. Thank You for the message that they have shared with us. May we continue to share that message with those around us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So glad you've been with us this morning. Good morning. May God bless you.